Hey, let's just dive straight in. I'm going to read from Proverbs, and then you can sit down afterwards. But let's stay for the word, hey? Let's stay upstanding. So, Proverbs 29:18, it says this, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's pray, church. Father, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus for us. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is here, and I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move tonight. Holy Spirit, I've prayed, I've researched, I've studied, but I can't do this on my own. So right now I ask that you would take these words, that you would use them like arrows that would just pierce people's hearts. Lord, I pray not for motivational words, but I pray for revelation. Holy Spirit, revelation in every single person here. And Lord, I come right now against any distractions that may hold people back from 2024. And I declare freedom over this room in the name of Jesus. I come against any distraction that may want to say lies into people's ears. And we release your spirit over this house here tonight. Help us all to hear from you. Help me to pray this message out for us for 2025. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give someone a high five as you find your seats. 2025. Oh, I'm excited for this year. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing what God's going to do through us here at C3 Powerhouse. Hey, if you don't know me, my name is David, and as Pastor Teresa said, I run a business. It's like a digital agency. So as part of the work that I do, I have to study a lot of marketers and people that advertise online, on YouTube, on social media, and things like that. And I came across this one guy, okay? So he stands in front of his Lambo, and he starts speaking and starts pitching his stuff. Sometimes he's in a mansion that's just way too big for one guy, but it's all part of it, obviously. And you may have seen him before, but and kudos to him. He's obviously doing really, really well, which I, 100% respect that. So that's not what I'm talking about. What really caught my attention about this guy is his core message, the message that he leads with, because he tells us, so in his videos and things like that, he tells us that if you get a vision for your life, think good thoughts, you can manifest success. Now when I thought about that, that sounds a little bit like that scripture we just read, where there's no vision, the people perish. There's no vision for your life. If you get a vision for your life, he's saying, think good thoughts, you can manifest success. So if that sounds the same, that really got me thinking then, is this guy right? Does he know something that I don't? Can you just create your own destiny? That's the kind of thoughts that were going through my mind. He's obviously very successful. He's helped other people be successful. So can I just think my way to success? Can I just create my own destiny? And then my mind started going, I was like, well, if that's true, is there even need for a God anymore? I was like, far out, what am I thinking? And I know you would never think that, right? Like, you would never plan your year ahead without asking God. You would never plan a vacation or plan something big in your life without first asking God. That's not us, maybe another church, but not C3 Powerhouse. Just kidding. But you would never do that, right? Or would you? Have you? That's the question. Have you? I know I have, and I've been guilty of this, and it didn't really work out too well for me. If you know my story, trying to do things in my own ways, trying to set my own goals, trying to set a vision for my life, trying to reach all these things, you know where it left me? It left me financially broke, spiritually empty, and without direction in life. That's how it turned out for me. And it makes sense, because I was thinking about this concept of like, okay, yeah, Solomon says it, the world says it, but then it's like, if it's really that easy just to get a vision and then thrive, if it really was that easy, why are there still people doing it tough in the world? Why, this will get you, why do some of the wealthiest people in the world actually report that they're unhappy and unsatisfied with their life? These are rich people. They know about this stuff. They know how to set vision. Yet they still report that they're unhappy and unsatisfied with their lives. And it got me, I kept thinking, I was like, well, why do families that seemingly have it all together, they've got the house, they've got the boat, the car, even nice kids, why do they, that's a big part, but it's seemingly they've got it all together, but then it all comes crashing down. Why do families like that split up if it was just so easy as, hey, this is what we're going to do and we're going to be happy? Why do marriages, if we're going to go down this path, marriages that hardly even start, why do they break up so early this day and age? I'm going to give you the answer. You ready? Because the answer isn't the way that the world interprets vision versus what Solomon actually meant. All right? See, modern culture, it's all about self-made goals, what you can do in your own strength, your achievements. But what Solomon was talking about, he wasn't talking about crafting your own path, okay? We've got to get it really straight here. He was urging us to seek God and his direction, okay? The word that he uses in that scripture, without vision, the people perish. That word vision, it's in the Hebrew, it's chasan. Not croissant, but it's like chasan. Now, the important part is the meaning, okay? I tried to say it. I don't know if it went down well. Apologies if I didn't pronounce it right. I'm German, okay? I'm not Hebrew. But the important part is the meaning, okay? That's why I wanted to get it into your mind. The meaning behind this word vision is divine revelation or prophetic insight. That doesn't sound like I could do that in my own strength. I'm not divine. That's from above. That's direction from God. So here's what he's saying. Here's what Solomon's saying. Rather than trying to work all this thing out ourselves, he's urging us, get this, to trust God. To trust God. That's because vision doesn't originate from just us, okay? It's breathed by God. Holy Spirit vision. Holy Spirit, breath of God breathing into us. Divine vision. Because here's the thing, this is why the wealthy are unhappy. That's why people chasing money are never satisfied. Why it's hard to get a hold of all these things when you try and do it in your own strength. Because just vision on its own will just drive you further down the path, versus divine vision actually brings hope. It brings clarity. And here's the biggest thing, it brings the purpose that God created you for out of you. That's what divine vision does. Come on. The thing it does also, when you get that vision, it aligns us with God. And you know who he is. He's a God that loves you. He's a God that loves you. He's a God that's for you. A God that wants you to have an abundant life. A God whose desires for you are much bigger than what you could ever dream of yourself. That's how big his desires are for you. He's a God that has a big and exciting future for you. Who's excited about that? So come on, let's give God some praise in the house tonight, because he is for you. He wants the best for you. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to have life. Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. That's the God that we're talking about right now. That's the God that wants to download vision into your life. And here's the awesome thing. He wants to speak to all of us personally about all of this stuff. He wants to speak to you about your 2025. He wants to speak to you about your marriage, about your job, about your children, about your finances. All of these things, he's got plans for them, and he wants to speak to you about them. How good is that? Doesn't that just take the weight off? It's such a beautiful thing. So this is what Solomon's saying. Rather than tuning into our own frequency, we should be tuning into God's frequency. All right? That way, you'll actually get direction for your year ahead, which is what we're going to be talking about tonight. A direction. So you're not like I was, where you go left and right, where you have no direction, where you're left in debt, where you're left spiritually dead. You're going to get direction. That is when vision becomes divine direction. And that's the title of my message tonight, when vision becomes divine direction. Tap your neighbor and say, from vision to divine direction. Come on, all right. Vision to divine direction. That's what we want to move through, church, tonight. That's what we want to move from just a vision as the world sees it, to actually divine direction from God. So, how does one get vision and direction from God? Would you like to know? There's many, many ways. There's no real formula, but there's heaps of things you can do, but what I've found over the last kind of 12, 13 years, it really just comes down to two building blocks and then really leaning into God. It's number one, you got to know who God is. Number two, you've got to surrender to His will. And then you've got to make time to hear His word. Okay? So that's what I want to discuss with you all tonight. Three keys. Number one, you've got to know who God is. Are you ready? Now, you may have been a Christian all your life. You may have only known God for, I don't know, one day. But you may not even know God. But all of us have this bent or this distorted view of how we view God through the lens of our earthly eyes, right? It's how we were raised, our parents, what they said. You would have adopted a certain view. Where you went to school, the type of music you listen to, the TV, the radio station, whatever it is, it gives us kind of many times a distorted view, if you listen to the world, of who God actually is. So what I want to do is actually reveal His true nature. And you know how you do that? It's by the Word, by Scripture. So I've got a few Scriptures that I just want to read out. And in no shape, way, or form do I want to say, hey, this is who God is in just these few Scriptures. Understanding who God is and how big He is and what He can do and His nature and what He's into, what He's not into, it's really a lifetime. But I believe as I read a few of these Scriptures tonight, He's going to bring fresh revelation to us here tonight. So let me just read them out. This is what the Bible says who God is. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. So if you're going through a dark patch in your life, if you feel like you're going through a tunnel, if you feel like you can't see the way out, I want to tell you, God is light who wants to shine into your life. God is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust Him. Oh, this is such a beautiful promise. So if you're feeling like you're in trouble, like if there is things going on in your life, and I'm not talking like at school, but I don't know what's going on in your life. You may be facing a custody battle. You may be facing relationship tension. Your business may not be doing so well. You may owe people some money. There may be a medical situation. How beautiful is it that we have a God in heaven who is good, and He is a stronghold. He's a safe haven, that means. He's a shelter, and He gives us strength and defense to battle those things. How good is that? That is the God that we serve. Now, here's the other thing. This is going to be a mindset change for some of us here tonight. God takes pleasure in your prosperity. Man, when I learned that scripture, I was like, so, okay, what this says is that God actually wants me to prosper. It's from the Bible. It's written right here. He takes prosperity in your prosper. Psalm 35, verse 27. And then check this. God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So if you feel like you've got lack, or you feel like God is not a God of abundance, or there's not enough for you, think again. Let me read this again. God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? That's a promise. And here's what the Bible says about God's promises. Man, when you start putting scripture after scripture together, it gets exciting. The word gets exciting. So this is what it says in Hebrews 6:18. God cannot lie. We just talked about a promise that he's given us. God cannot lie when he makes a promise, and he cannot lie when he makes an oath. God promises to be with you, encouraging you not to be dismayed, for he is your God. He will strengthen you. He will keep you. He will uphold you with his righteous right hand. That's in Isaiah. He has written your name on the palm of your hand. He knows you. He loves you. He is for you. His thoughts towards you are more numerous than the sand on the seashore. And you know what? God is love. In fact, he loved you so much that he gave his one and only son, that if you believe in him, you will not perish. There's that word perish again. But you'll have eternal life. See the scripture coming together and what Jesus did on the cross for us? That's what the scripture's talking about. If this is your first time in church, or if you don't know Jesus, the good news is that Jesus came. We lived a dirty, rotten sinner's life. That's the only way that I can describe it. And then Jesus came, he entered the world, and his blood, he lived a sinless life and paid for all of that. Now, if you believe that and you confess it with your heart, confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, your sin, your dirty, rotten, sinful life is actually washed clean. That's the power of Jesus. And you know what? Having a relationship like that opens all of this up. So if you don't know Jesus, at the end of the service, I actually want to take some time out to invite him into your life. Is that cool? Awesome. So hold on to that. But God is good. He's trustworthy. He loves you deeply. And while he's very, this is the thing, we just talked about, we will not perish and we'll go to heaven. And oh, you got to get this. When I got this, everything changed. My Bible reading changed. My prayer time changed. Because God is 100% interested in you going to heaven. He is. 100%. But do you know what I found as well? Once I understood who God is, he's also interested in heaven getting into you. Getting into you while you're here on earth. Because why? Because we all have a part to play. We have purpose. He has a plan for us, plan for a hope and for a future. He's got a mighty plan and we're all part of it. Isn't that exciting? That's what I meant. He's got a big and exciting future for each one of us here tonight. Man, you got to wrap your head around that. He wants to bring heaven into you. That's who he is. That's his nature. That is God. That's what happened on the cross. So that is the first key. You've got to know who God is. We good? Yeah. All right. So that's how you get divine revelation. You actually got to understand who God is. Because as I said, I came to this church and I had this distorted view. I thought it was all just about heaven. But it's actually what we can do here on earth with the time that we have as well. All right. That's key number one. Number two, you've got to surrender your vision to God. You got to surrender your vision to God. I lost my breath there. Okay. Now, this is the second part of the proverb, okay? So I'll kind of just focus on the first one. The second part says this, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? This is not about legalism, okay? So if you've had a religious upbringing, it's all been about rules and regulation. That's not what this is about. It's not about religious activity, or it's not even about, okay, I come to church on Sunday, tick. I'm a good person, tick. It's not about legalism, rules, or ticking a box. It's about alignment. Okay? Say that with me, alignment. It's alignment with the God that actually created us. That's what surrender is. So, I don't know if you remember this. How many of us are born past the year 2000? Yeah? A few of us? All right, well, most of us probably remember the transistor radio. Yes? So for those that don't, what it is, it's this little box and it's got a dial on the side and some numbers on the front. Now, usually when you turn it on, it's just kind of white noise, all right? So it's like... Now, the magical thing about this box is when you dial it to the right radio station, music plays clear as day. Okay, so you dial it and it's like, and then the music starts to play when you get it into the right frequency. Okay, now here's the thing, all right? If your radio didn't actually play the music, you couldn't blame the radio station. That frequency is set. Okay? The only way that you could actually dial into the music, into what the radio station was saying to hear clearly from the message, is to actually adjust your dial, the dial on your radio. That's what surrender is. It's adjusting the dial of our life. So rather than having David Crowder FM play, it's the God Almighty station playing. And who is God? He is good. We just read promise after promise after promise. So whose radio station would you rather dial into? David Crowder? Bah! God? Yeah! Come on! That's the radio station I want to be dialed into. And that is what surrender is. When he speaks, then time to obey. That's what surrender is. And here's what I found. Even when things get uncomfortable. All right? But the reason things get uncomfortable, what I've learned is it's either God's trying to deal something to get it out of us, or he's trying to stretch us towards something bigger that he has available for us in 2025. Come on. It's going to get uncomfortable, but it's okay. Because we know who God is, right? He's trustworthy. He's good. And he loves you. That's point number two. You've got to surrender your vision to God. Point number one, you've got to know who God is. Number three for tonight, and this is really, we're talking about hearing from God. This is really where it all comes together, okay? Number three is we've got to create time and space to hear his word, okay? So as a foundation, you've got to know who God is. Otherwise, you just won't hear and understand him, okay? Because just your distorted view just won't give you the right message. Then you've got to surrender and actually dial into him. And then, as I said, you've got to make time. You've got to make time. And that's why I believe the enemy tries to keep us so busy, because he understands the power of this, of actually taking time out and hearing from God. The Bible says this, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's a promise. In Habakkuk, it says this, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. So he's talking about God. What is he going to say to me? I stand. He takes a stance. He actually makes time. And what answers I'm to give to his complaint? Habakkuk 2:1 it says. Now, what this is saying is it's an instruction for us to actively seek God. Make time at the start of the year. Hey, what are you actually saying? And I'm not saying, hey, it's a one-time thing at the start of the year and then you don't have to seek God again. This does not replace your quiet time, okay? You should be seeking God all the time. But what I like to do at the start of the year is make extraordinary time for God available, okay? I call it 24 hours with God, 24 hours with God. Now, just a few practical keys to help us out. Is that all right? Around this time, just how it works for me. It's not a formula. It may not work for you, but this has just really changed how I hear from God for my year ahead. Number one, I find a quiet location, okay? This is actually really important. It's practical. I don't know if it's theologically sound, but one thing that I did one year, I went into an Airbnb. So I got an Airbnb to go away, and we were low on budget, so it was a little bit more of a budget solution. It was actually attached to someone's house. Now, when I walked into the house, I told him, hey, yeah, I'm David, I'm here for 24 hours. And he's, oh yeah, where are you from? I hear. And he's like, oh, I hear a German accent. Yeah, I grew up there. I did like this and that. We got talking, I played table tennis. And then he's like, oh, I play table tennis too. So he just wanted to talk about table tennis. And I was like, yeah, but I'm just gonna take some time out. I just wanna do some things. He's like, cool, cool, cool. So I got to praying. Next thing I know, I was praying, I was like, God, I'm here, I want to hear you, and I hear this, David. I'm like, is this the audible voice of God? I'm like, what's going on here? This is awesome, 24 hours with God. It was actually the guy trying to talk to me about table tennis. So just a really practical note, if you're going to do this, if you're going to take time out from God, pick a location that's separate from someone else's house, okay? separate from your home, separate from what you're used to. Go somewhere new. I wouldn't even recommend a hotel room, because if you're anything like me, people are going to call the police because you're like screaming, you're yelling at God, you're receiving from God. So what works for me is just get a cabin up in the mountains, Mullaney, Montville. There's budget solutions, there's stuff, there's all types of stuff. So get a quiet location, okay? And then the whole purpose for this, for me, is to get a word from God, okay? I'll show you some examples of words that I've gotten over the years. If we can bring that up real quick. So I've kept it a little bit grainy because this is pretty vulnerable for me. But basically what it is, I get a word from God, and then I look at different Bible passages that speak to that theme and that resonate with me, that I hear God being on. You'll feel the Holy Spirit just being on different passages, okay? Then I write that out. So I write a whole heap of stuff out, and then that sets my theme for the year, okay? So that's what it's looked like for me over the last 4 years. Before that, it was different stuff. I was breaking debt 1 year, so it wasn't really the theme for the year. It was more that year. Then we wanted to get into a house. I had another one. But since then, I was like, this stuff is powerful when you get divine direction. And this has been my years over the last 4 years now. Okay, I'll bring that up in a moment again. But I just don't want to leave you hanging. You can take it down. Hanging, and this is what it looks like. How do you get to something like that? Okay, so we're going to finish strong really quickly. I want to be practical here. What are the kind of things that I do when I go away for 24 hours, okay? So the first thing I do is I lock that time out, okay? Lock it out in your calendar, because before you know it, the year started, you're not going to do it. So I lock that time in December, okay? That's number one. Number two, I go through prophecies that have been spoken over us. And I listen, what's God saying? What's been the theme? Is there anything that's come to pass, something that hasn't? What's he saying here? I get into the word, and it looks different. Sometimes 1 year, I just look through the whole book of Hebrews and just kind of got a fresh revelation, what that whole book's about. Other years, I've been I've earmarked things on my quiet time leading up to it, and it's like, man, God's already speaking. There's already a theme. So before I even knew it, I turned up to my 24 hours with 10, 15 scriptures, and I've just been praying and like, God, which one are you on? Which one is the one for this year? What's my word? What are you saying this year? I listen to podcasts. Now, with podcasts, in this moment, I want something with faith, okay? Something that has faith on it. You're pretty safe listening to anything here from C3 Powerhouse. Pastor Phil, he's a man of faith. I love listening to his podcasts. Anything from Pastor John, he's a man of faith. Man, he's taught me a lot about faith. And you just want to pray. And don't over-spiritualize it. Pray in tongues. Activate your spirit. And then just ask God, what have you got for me this year? God, give me a prophetic picture. What plans do you have for me this year? I want to do this. I'm thinking this. What do you think about that? It's simple. We don't have to over-spiritualize this stuff. God knows who we are. We're created in his image, so he understands how we speak. Just normal English works. And it's powerful. Now, here's the thing. Those things that I wrote up, some of the stuff that was on there, it was way bigger than I ever thought possible. And that's not what vision's about. It's not about you trying to do it or you knowing how to do it. For me, what I've realized is God wants to do something in you for that year. He wants to dig a well for something. So the thing that you want to be asking is, God, where do you want to expand me this year? What are some habits that I might be needing to change here so I actually can step into all that you have for me? That's the kind of things God wants to talk to us about. We don't have to be Elon Musk, although it would be awesome if we had an Elon Musk in this church. I believe God wants that for his church. He wants that for his people. He wants you to reach things beyond your dreams, above and beyond what you can think, ask, or imagine, the word says. That's the power of this. Is that good? Just last point. Can I get that picture up again real quick? You'll find that the sides are torn. And 2025 isn't put away. It's not about, hey, I'm going to get a great vision, I'm going to put it away and then do life my own way. Because, man, I can't do that. And you can't either. We weren't created for that. We're created to be in relationship with God and do this thing together. So what I do, I pray this stuff out week after week, day after day in my quiet time. It gives me that direction. That's what divine direction is. And then I frame it up because I want to be reminded about it. When you get out of here, take some time out for God. Write down some scriptures. What are the things that he's saying? Get a word from God and then stand on those scriptures in 2024. Now, here's the thing. God gives you vision and it's big and it can be scary and it might frighten you and you're like, I can't do that. Just write it down. Just write it down. Pastor Teresa preached an awesome message this morning. I love that, Pastor Teresa. God is not a God of floodlights. He gives you a torch. He'll give you that vision. He'll give you that dream. Write that down. But then it's a step-by-step journey. He'll place that in your heart. Your job is to say, yes, I'm obedient, and I'm going to carry that dream because that is what I'm created for. 2025 is going to be awesome. God bless you.